corrupt, I listen too loudly.
I'm the author of the book Prophecies with a Divine Answer, A Message from God to the World of Mankind. I have a little cold, so bear with me. And for everybody about my website, you can go check out the book at homie3.com. That's H-O-M-E-Y, the number 3.com. We have some radio archives there, as well as some podcasts. And I do have a podcast out there on the podcast networks entitled Prophecies with a Divine Answer. And anybody out there with a computer, check it out. Download those podcasts, and maybe you'll get enlightenment and get yourself some fact-finding information and probably make a decision on your own.
Excellent.
That's enough. Who else wants to go? Go ahead. Anybody else?
We'll start with.
Go ahead.
We'll go
Jill,
with Katel.
Why don't you go?
Okay, go ahead, Jill. It's fine.
Hello.
Hi,
yes,
Jill.
My book's coming out. My book's coming out, and we're going to have a big party. I'd love everyone to come, and it's going to be in Miami, so you have to go on my website at Jill, JILLDAHNE.com, and put your email when the purple box comes up, appears, put your email so you'll get an invitation, because it's only invitation only, and there's going to be a lot of stars and football players and single people and married couples, and it's just going to be fun dancing, food and drink, and the press.
Excellent.
We're going to have a great time. So I want all of you who's on the show with me to come too.
Okay, I am Katel, and my website is VegasAstrologer.com. I have been, I've been involved in the metaphysical community of Las Vegas for over 26 years now. At this point in time, I'm traveling back and forth a lot to El Paso. In fact, today I'm calling in from El Paso, Texas. And having a lot of fun doing these radio shows. I have a radio show of my own, which is on All Talk Radio Friday afternoons at noon Pacific time. But check out my website, VegasAstrologer.com, and we'll find out from Jill all the details, and maybe we can get out there in time for her big shindig.
That's absolutely right. And then plus I would love you guys to come on my radio show here in Florida at... You can log in to JillDayton.com and click on to Jill Dayton's Radio, but in Florida it's 1470 a.m. from 3 to 4 Eastern Time.
Yeah, that,
and all of you are going to come
on. The Jill Dayton Show, that's every Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, and plus, does all of you get Miami Ink out there? The show Miami Ink?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You do?
It does come on cable here.
Yeah, the TLC channel?
Yep.
Well, we filmed we filmed in December, and the whole hour is going to be about me and Kat, the girl Kat with the long black hair, the tattoo artist, and her husband, and you'll be watching it on the TLC channel this month.
Very cool.
I didn't get a tattoo, though. Even though I would like one, I would like a big eye.
So, did you mention your radio show? What is your radio show going to be on?
You can get to it by going to www.alltalkradio.net, and it is on live Fridays at noon Pacific time, noon to one. Actually, we start at 12:06 with the news, but you can always get the archives and. Basically, I cover the whole gamut of spirituality. In fact, I actually want to probably get all of you guys on individually. I had Homie on, and Victor was on. I'd like to get Derek on. I need to get Jill on, and everybody else who's on the show, including you guys from Ghostly Talk. We'll get you all on, and we'll just have a good old time.
You guys don't want us. We're not very good.
We're just a bunch of goofballs.
I know. You guys are. Now, listen, but before we go on to the fellows of the room, Rose just stated to Jill, she tried to get you on the radio, but it was too busy or something, tried to get on your show. But she would like to tell you that her friend met the name John that you mentioned, and she's been dating him for 4 months. And would like to know if this one is for her.
Say yes.
Yes. Rose, if you're out there,
and I want
yes,
an
Rose.
I want an invitation for the wedding.
Wow.
And Rose? You heard that. I'll type it in for her. Jill wants an invitation. Okay, guys. The next guy's in line. Talk. Tell us what you do, all right? How about Christensen?
Yeah, it's
Derek. Victor. Who wants to start?
Why don't we start with Victor? Victor, you there?
This is Victor Baines, the Nostradamus Society of America. I wrote a book called, you remember the future, the prophecies of Nostradamus, published by Holographic Books. I do some radio shows. I'm on the History Channel, the Discovery Channel, and some other cable TV shows. And I discuss Nostradamus and prophecies and other cool and interesting things like that. Who's next?
Scott Christensen, why don't you go next?
Hello, everybody. I'm Scott Christensen. My website is www.connectwithscott.com. And I'm a psychic medium, healer, pet life regressionist. I do about 100 media appearances a year. And I wrote the book, Bridging the Gap Between the Christian and Metaphysical World. And actually, in about 2 weeks, I'm going to be unveiling my new book called The Inheritance, which has been described as Harry Potter, The Da Vinci Code, and something else meets The Secret, What the Bleep, and Pass It On. And I've got kind of a special thing for everybody who's listening right now. If you go to connectwithscott.com/special, there's actually a special offer to pre-order the book before it's even available to the general public on March 16th at the Denver Merchandise Mart. I'm going to be keynote speaking with Daniel Brinkley. So anybody in the area, I guess they're expecting about 7,000 attendees. Just come on down and join us. It'll be a good time.
It's going to be a great time. And the last person I believe we have here is Derek. Derek, we've already talked to Derek, haven't we?
Yeah. My name is Derek White, Sky Cloud. I have a radio show Between Two Worlds. I'm on the internet radio under bbsradio.com. I'm on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock Pacific Standard, which is 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I've been doing the show for well over a year. I've had AM radio as well under CFM 1410 in Vancouver. I also work as a paranormal investigator. I'm a psychic medium. And in this area, I'm from Vancouver, British Columbia, so most of you guys are all in the American side. I'm on the Canadian side, so...
Wow.
I always love being last because I get to talk more.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I have a lot of fun. I like to entertain the public, and I always like to invite people on my show that would like to share their stories, because it's important that we need to share what we have in this world, because a lot of people right now feel kind of, locked inside, and they need assistance. So having to have people like ourselves, or from the American side or Canadian side or from other parts of Canada or parts of Europe, it's important for all of us to share that story, and so we can actually give people that there's a lot of hope in their lives and they can actually look forward to it.
Absolutely, and I agree with that.
My website is under whiteskycloud.com, and you look at my website, you can find all kinds of things that I have in there, everything from anything to from the paranormal investigating to work that I do. And I'm looking forward to hearing anybody coming on or anybody who wants to join my show, guys, feel free to give me a scream. And we'll get something started.
Ah! Ah!
Scream! Scream!
Hey, all right, here's
okay, feel good.
How was that?
Hey, you guys. This is Doug, of course.
Here we go. This is Ghostly Talk Radio.
Yeah. Now before we get into the good stuff here, this is what I want to do. Doug is actually self-combusted. He's like just a pair of legs right now in a chair, actually.
Okay?
I have indeed burst.
He's totally... Now, people out there listening to this show, you guys noticed that you didn't hear the crazy little intro we do and all that fun stuff and the formal stuff. We had to move studios this week, and for some reason, along with Doug being self-combusted, our external sound card we use to feed out music and stuff like that decided to do the same thing. So basically what we're going to do tonight, which I think is fitting for what we're doing tonight too, is we're just going to jam. We're going to jam. We have from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to do Prophecy Night 3 tonight. I want to thank all the guests, everybody who's joined us here, Victor Baines, Cattell, Derek White, Sky Cloud, Scott Christensen, Jill Dane, and, of course, our dear friend, Homie 3, for showing up here. We appreciate it, guys. But we're just going to go tonight. There's not going to be any music. We threw a penny in the system, and it seemed to make it work.
All right. Hey, well, anyway, we thank you. Let's start. We've always wanted to talk about prophecies. We've been talking about prophecies over the past couple of shows. But before we go on, I have to make an apology to Victor Baines. On Prophecy Night 1, I draw Victor into the backing that there would be a catastrophic earthquake that would strike at the end of January, but I stated that it would take place in California. And I do apologize because that didn't take place. An earthquake did take place, a catastrophic earthquake at that time, but only in a different location, and that was in Indonesia. As far as where I got my information from, came from above, and it was stated to me only to state an earthquake at the end of January on a catastrophic scale would appear in the news at that time. I personally try to associate it with as to the location in my own mind, and I apologized on a podcast that I would never do that again. And to Victor, I apologize to you for bringing your intelligence and your...
Well, I don't really know why you feel like you need to apologize to me. All you said was there was going to be a big earthquake sometime in January, and
I said
San Francisco was ripe for one any day between now and the next 20 years.
I apologize, because you know people do hear us, and you know how many people I probably got upset or scared that they were going to have a major earthquake in California at that time. So... From now on,
predicted that it was going to snow in California. Remember?
Yes.
On my radio show, and it did.
It did, okay. So, you know, us as psychics, we get information, and sometimes we may be a little bit off because we have maybe misinterpreted sometimes, or, you know, some of us out there have even used our own human feelings as to try to put a location to that. I will never ever do that again. I will never associate my human feelings towards what gives me on information. I have stated that on a podcast before, so I don't want to ever bring somebody into a backing on something, especially like you, Victor, and make you look wrong. And that was totally wrong of me to do. So I apologize.
Okay, I accept it.
This is Jill speaking. Plus, besides earthquake, I predicted all these snowstorms and bad weather, and it's still going to continue, especially in Pittsburgh and New York.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, even if you, Jill, I know I had heard Scott Christensen talk about heavy snowfalls and stuff like that a couple of months ago as well. So both of you guys are all right, very good. We have some good psychics on this that get
in. Let me say this. I live in Texas, the hot zone, and I can predict after all this cold weather passes, which is not going to take very long for it to pass, it's going to be hotter than you know what for months and months and months and months, depending on where you live. It's almost like there's two seasons, heat on, heat off. I don't think the weather's going to get wackier as time goes on and less predictable.
By the way, Jill, your friend over here, Rose, on the chat room, wanted to know who is going to be the next president of the United States.
Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
I predicted her.
I think Hillary and Obama.
Yeah, I predicted her 7 years ago. And right when Bush became president, I said Hillary Clinton's on my website from that long ago, that she will be the next president. And I also predicted that Giuliani would be running against her. So those are the two that are going to be running against each other. So this is a...
Yeah, the Democrats are going to win big all over the country, I feel like. No question about it. It is fate.
I'm sorry?
I said I think it's complete fate that the Democrats are just going to really kick rear end this next election.
That's right.
Just like they did this last one.
It's true. It's not going to be a Republican. It's going to be Hillary Clinton. Everyone thinks I'm crazy with that prediction, but so far...
Oh, no, I've thought that for years, too.
You know?
I agree with you, Jill.
Yeah, I was in New York. What was it? It was last this October. And I said Hillary Clinton's going to be the next president, and they thought I was out of my mind. But, you know, when I predicted Bush was going to be president in the newspaper... And I predicted in New York, they all booed me because, of course, they don't want Bush in New York, you know. And I said, he's not going to win in your state, but on Washington radio, I predicted in every state which he would win in. And he did. He became the president, and I said he'd get reelected, and he did. So this time around, I see it's going to be Hillary Clinton against Giuliani. So let's see.
Hillary Clinton against Giuliani.
On Talk Radio.
Hillary Clinton.
Victor, you agree with me, Victor, right?
I agree that Hillary will be president. I don't know who's going to be running against her.
Maybe
Obama
as
a running mate, and for sure a Democrat, if not Hillary. But I'll back 100% on Hillary.
I believe it's going to be Hillary.
Well, I agree with you, Jill. I agree with you. I even was stating that type of scenario back in 96 and 97 to some people around here. So it's all on course. So I agree with you, Jill, and I agree. You know,
then Bill Clinton will be back in the White House. That's what I'm, like, so excited about.
Well, of course he will be.
I shook hands with him the day before he became president in the first election. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, I was on television on the Christina show back in 92. And I said he was going to become president and have problems with sexual harassment at the end of 98. So they were like, what? They go, sexual harassment? He's not even the president yet. I go, well, he's going to become president and then he'll get the second term and then have problems with sexual harassment. They're like, Jill, how can you make that prediction? But everyone out there, that's what a prediction is all about. And then another prediction that is, like, far away, you know, was, it's on my website, I predict for the year 2012 in St. Louis, Missouri, around December 11th time, that there's going to be sand blasters coming out and a major earthquake. So those of you who know anyone in St. Louis or Missouri, that they should be out of that area around December 11th, at least for 2 to 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you want to get bigger than that, see, there's this one Nostradamus prediction about where he talks about the New Memphis and a horrible earthquake. Well, Memphis, Tennessee is in the middle of the New Madrid fault line, as is St. Louis and a lot of other cities. Tennessee, Arkansas, Missouri, was a part of Illinois, I believe. Anyway, it had a horrible earthquake there in like 1803, and it like reversed the tide of the Mississippi River for years. Well, the scientists here in America know all about the fact that it's supposed to go down between now and 2017, according to them. And that whole area is not built very well. Like, L.A. is built to earthquake specs, earthquake codes. Well, that part of the Old South and the Midwest is not. So it's going to make 9/11 look like a picnic when it goes.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that terrible?
It definitely.
Why don't they ever tell us about that stuff?
And this is,
people don't like to talk about prophecies. You know, it brings a lot of tragedy to kind of talk about, doesn't it, Victor?
Yeah, it's not good news, is it?
What were you going to say, Scott? I cut you off at the pass.
Oh, you guys aren't cutting me off. It's cool. I'm just kind of just making comments here as you guys go along. Can you guys hear me better now, by the way?
Yeah, we hear you right now.
All right, good. I kind of,
yeah, much better.
I crank my level up all the way, so now you guys should be able to hear me, hopefully. You mentioned St. Louis. Somebody mentioned about St. Louis, about an earthquake in St. Louis. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah, well,
Bill did.
Bill stated about Missouri for 2012, December 11th, about...
December 11th, 2012. December 11th, 2012,
December 11th, 2012, there's going to be a major earthquake.
Well, thank goodness, because we're going there next weekend, so I guess we're going to be a little early for it.
Yeah, very early.
Thank goodness. I didn't want to be caught in the middle of something like that.
Oh, we've been talking. Where's been Derek and Scott Christensen? They're sitting in the background there. Do they have any comments to make about who might on the presidency of the United States the next time around or anything like that?
Well, I'll say this right now. They made this prediction before where I feel that John Edwards, even though he's a politician, there's going to be some apologies that he'll be sharing with the public that will get him in trouble. That's something he did in the past that will be brought to the surface.
Like what?
I feel it's something that they've done, that something happened in, I would say, within the government itself that he will have, it'll be brought to the surface. I feel like it's more like a leak within itself. I did this prediction about 2 months ago. Or he would not, if I understand correctly, somebody was talking about him actually wanting to go for the presidency as well.
He's not going to be able to.
No. But there's something he'll be doing that he will get him in trouble.
What about something
he'll
get Bush in trouble?
He'll be caught with his hands in the cookie jar, so to speak.
Yeah.
What about Bush getting in trouble?
Bush will be in big trouble.
I think Bush is in trouble right now, isn't he?
bigger trouble.
Bigger trouble.
I will say this right now. There's going to be one of the biggest court cases ever taken place that regards the military, and a lot of the soldiers will actually walk away regarding this war. And right now, I don't know much about the U.S. because I'm from Canada. I get this feeling that there's going to be a lot more soldiers stepping forward and wanting to quit, not even fight. And there's going to be a big, huge court battle where I feel that they're going to try to bring in the, what do you guys call that, force them to join the army, the military.
Oh, the draft.
Yeah, they may decide to bring it forward because I've been, and someone's talked about bringing it up.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
It's hard to know, this is what I feel.
Can I interrupt you for a second? When the new president becomes president for the U.S., there's going to be a whole different aspect of the world, and a lot of people will be coming back from you know, the military, and so there really won't have to be a draft. You know, and a lot of these, you know, with these people that are bombing people and, you know, a lot of these people that are against the United States and everything, when it changes in the White House, a lot will change, and you'll see it for yourself at the end of 2008.
Well, one thing, too, I mean, you can only have these, like, I call Vietnam a phony war. I call this one a phony war. You can only have phony wars about every 30 years before nobody will join up again. So I think the phony war thing will have run its cycle this go around.
Well, can I talking about the war and everything? Who watches Bill Maher, Late Night with Bill Maher on HBO? Do you catch that, Victor?
You told me about it. I don't watch him.
I just happened to catch it for the first time last weekend. He just had made a comment about Nostradamus and wanting to know whether Nostradamus has anything to do with the war in Iraq. The man, the people out there are not too stupid about what goes on with the prophecy, Victor. And I think a lot of people out there know about Nostradamus.
I mean, I don't even know why he mentioned that, other than just something to say to fill time. I mean, I don't really know where he was coming from with that.
Well,
I just had to bring that up. I thought it was kind of funny and unique. So.
Well, guys, concerning the war in Iraq, if I may, guys, is it okay if I make a comment here?
Sure.
All right. I know, Derek, you mentioned that there is going to be a huge trial that's going to be going on here in the future, in 2008, am I correct?
Yeah.
Not taking away from the prophecy aspect of this, I know, you know, living in America here, a lot of people, it's unbelievable I've seen, especially, and I'm sure a lot of people on this conference that we're doing tonight, they're going to agree with me. I have never seen a war in such protest. I think this might actually, at some time down the road here, dwarf Vietnam to a point of so much protest to a war. I mean, in my short lifetime, I have never seen so many people against something in my entire life as far as the government's concerned. Does anybody here kind of get the same vibe?
Seems like more people were out really protesting or throwing rocks in Vietnam than they are now. But that they make it very unpopular to be against this war, and they make it look like, well, if you're against this war, then you're against the troops. It's like, no, I'm all for the troops. I'm just against the people who come up with the decision to send them where they want to send them. So I've never seen the executive branch turn into such a king-like establishment. You know, everybody else is like into democracy. So I don't really know what's going on here with this absolute control of sending people off to die in the big death machine.
Well, every single week, when I go to see my better half, and when I'm driving home at the end of the weekend when I'm out there, just for an example, there is a group of people in this particular town that I'm leaving that are out there every single week. I'm talking a big group of people every single week on the side of the road with their signs that say, stop the war now, you know, and the usual taglines you see when it comes to a protest, you know, no more blood for oil and things like that. Not to take away from it whatsoever, because I agree with them in a lot of ways. These people have been out there for a year and a half. The same people.
Well, they're dedicated.
Yeah, the only reason I know this in such an intimate manner is that one of the people my girlfriend works with. So she knows her, and these people have been out there for a year and a half straight. And it's the same group of people out there. It's a big group of people. And that just that one little thing going on tells me a lot, I think. Because I know they're not the only people in this country that are doing
right,
that.
There's
right
a
now.
Multiplier. If you see 100 people doing it, there's probably 10,000 who wish that they were.
Exactly, exactly.
I think it was about a month and a half ago they had a big, or 2 months ago, where they had a big demonstration in Washington, D.C. At that mall in front of the White House. They had a big demonstration. Hundreds of thousands of people were there to protest against the war.
If you guys remember correctly, back in England, United Kingdom, when 9/11 took place, there was 2.5 million people in the United Kingdom protesting the streets and said they don't want no war, and they went ahead and still did it because they weren't going to listen to the protesters. As far as they're concerned, they were going to try to have it happen. So, you can protest all you want, but basically it's up to...
I look at the war as just all for money. It's like,
yes, exactly.
Win, lose, or draw, there's 100 corporations that are going to make money. Every day somebody's over there, and that's really all that matters to them. Apparently, it doesn't matter if people die, it's just so they can make money. I know that sounds pathetic.
Yeah, all the military contract is...
But I think that's about three-quarters what the war is about, is money.
Well, bottom line here, I think, and we all know this, and I'm not throwing any propaganda out there by saying this, war is a gigantic moneymaker. It's a huge...
That's right. You put people on one end of the machine, on the other end of the machine, blood comes out one spigot, money comes out the other.
I have to agree. In a lot of ways, it's true. I'm going to shut up.
Same here.
The thing is that what's important, our prediction should be what can we do next... to let the people know that there's actually hope that this thing can stop.
What are your thoughts? Please tell us.
When a lot of people, we try to do is give people predictions or give people hope and show them what way they need to see for the future and what they can make preparation for and what changes they can do. It takes the public's energy, the people out there, it takes everybody out there to make the energy to say, look, it's over. Get over it. The war is over. Stop this stupid thing. It's ridiculous. We're fighting for no reason anymore because all it really is now is it's hurting more people. It's killing more people that are even more innocent people.
It killed like half a million innocent Iraqis, I think.
Yeah, because they didn't have the war in the beginning.
I have to agree. It's killing more people of citizens, and it's killing your military, and you're not really doing destruction to the people that you wanted to do.
Do you know how many soldiers you lost back in the Second World War? You lost 2 million soldiers.
Yeah.
Okay? If you want it like the Second World War, then we need to stop this. We need to... Basically, whether this...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wonder who the next make-believe demon's going to be. First it was Osama, and I think he is a demon. Then it's like, well... Then we got this other guy, Saddam. Let's turn him into a demon. Who do you think will be the next demon, next year's demon?
Well, Michael...
Well, I'll tell you this right now. I mean, I do believe this very strongly. There was a woman that actually was living many years ago. Her name is Ruth Montgomery, and she predicted back in 69 that there would be two presidents, a father and a son, that would be actually connected to the second, which is basically the Antichrist, that actually caused the second war, or the third war. And... Basically, it made sense because she wrote that prediction back in 69. Well, the only father and son we know as president was Bush Senior and Junior.
I think there should be a law where no father, I mean no daughter or son of a president can be president. We don't need nepotism in the executive branch.
Like,
we don't
need
nepotism.
Well, this is like saying husband and wife too.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's almost like saying the husband and wife too because the husband was the president, now the wife will be the president.
Right?
What was that, homie?
I'm talking about father and son.
Yeah, but I mean, you're almost like in relations. They're, whether it's father or son, or the fact is, I mean, here's another example. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay?
I don't think we should pass a law to let him be president either.
But they did. They passed the law really quick because he was a hero as an actor.
First of all, Arnold Schwarzenegger will never.
He could never become president because he was not an American president.
I predicted in the newspaper that he would
you know, be for California, but I don't see that person ever.
Yeah, nothing against the man at all, but I just don't think any foreigner should be president. I don't care who it is.
Well, there is a law on the books, Victor. You
I know that. I mean, we should retain that.
Born American.
I know that, and I'm saying we should.
I don't even know how he's, you know, with California right now. Anyway.
Well, basically, he got in because he's Arnold.
I'm not
going to
step on his foot and call him a name and run. I know that.
Well, what we have here, I think, guys, is that this is a classic good old boy network. Bottom line, I believe that, I mean, this is a classic example of that. What you're seeing here is a classic good old boy network. We've heard about them, and now you're seeing them straight up, I think. That's what this is. I mean, the only reason I believe that Bush Jr. would ever have been become the president, obviously, is because his father was a president. His father was a powerful man before he was ever put into office. That's the only reason.
The Clinton administration is still in office right now. Just look around.
Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason he was ever a president. He is a president right now, I should say. It's the only reason he's here.
Yeah, I mean, after they, you know, the military-industrial machine whacked Kennedy, Eisenhower said, look out for this military-industrial machine. Well, when he was looking at Kennedy's grave, it's like he had a bad expression on his face. I think the evil machine's been running ever since, except for the times the Democrats have been in there. It's a big war machine.
I think they know where Bin Laden is.
Huh?
I believe they know where Bin Laden is.
Well, they know where he is.
When Bush leaves, he'll come out with a bang.
Well, I was wondering what happened to him, because you don't really hear about him in the media at all anymore.
They're hiding him.
I remember when I predicted about Castro, you guys. Last time, it was like the time before when we were on the show.
So
he's going to be dying now.
Yeah, he's
I believe he's dead already. I think he's on tubes.
About him,
yeah, I agree with on that, too.
I believe he's on tubes right now. They're just showing pictures from before, you know, because he's...
That's all.
Well, you say you think he's dead?
Look this way. You guys ever seen Whack the Dog?
Right now.
I think he's still alive. I think he's in Pakistan, but...
We were talking about Castro
right now.
Castro. Oh. I believe he died about 3 or 4 weeks ago, actually.
Yeah. It's got to come out because that's what I told everybody. Save their money because come around 2010, it's going to be paradise. And people are going to want to buy property over there.
And
all the people that have the deeds to their land is...
in Cuba.
They will get it back in Cuba.
And for those people, for their information, as far as the changing of the society in Cuba, young Ilian Gonzalez at that time will become of age where he will start helping form the government of Cuba to be very free.
Well, wait, y'all think that Raul is going to take over?
No.
Well, he's in charge now.
Well, he'll be in charge, but the thing is, he's gonna make it.
He's going to die.
Like, Raul's going to open things up a little bit?
Yeah, it's going to be There's going to be beautiful buildings, and it's going to be like the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Talk about the Bahamas, right?
What about Anna Nicole? Yeah, wait, I heard that she died recently. Is that right? Anna Nicole?
That's true.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Died.
Yeah, and with Anna Nicole... You know, what's that, homie? What's that guy's name, Larry?
Oh, you're gonna bring Anna Nicole here? Oh no!
What?
God!
Ghostly talk.
Oh no, Anna Nicole is an infiltrated ghostly talk. It's over now. It's officially
ghostly
over.
We're not letting it go to red.
Go ahead, tell us, please.
Yeah. Back now, okay. Let's
Anna
and
Nicole's gonna show you
the
bedside.
That'd be pretty neat.
So anybody got any idea of what it was Anna Nicole wants? Are we getting a message from her, guys?
Well,
what's his name?
The blonde?
It's Stern. He's responsible for everything.
Yeah, he's responsible. Now, I'm going to tell everybody here.
And she did not like
Jill has stated some. Jill has stated something that Howard Case Stern would be held be responsible for their deaths. Well,
and Larry Burkhead is the father of the baby.
Yeah,
look for this way. I feel strongly that this actually was a case of murder myself. I feel it is.
Yes.
All right, now,
well,
what you're saying
yes, I agree.
Here, now, what everybody's saying here, let me give you some information that I had found out 3 days after she died. And I sent this article to Jill this morning. And it talked about Howard K. Stern admitting to his sister that morning, before her death, that he had found her with the nurse icing her down with 105 temperature. That was hours before her death. That can be held responsible for murder, because if you have 105 temperature, you go to the hospital, you get a doctor. You don't just ice the girl down as a nurse.
But did you know that Stern's the one that kept her doped up all the time? That's why she was always very high.
So you take him to the hospital for 105 fever. You don't leave
them
that way.
You don't let them sit there.
Plus, I also heard that she had plastic surgery during that time, too. She had her chest enlarged.
Oh, imagine that.
It looked like the beast he was on Valiums or Percodan or Xanax or something, just totally blown out on some kind of downers.
Well, I believe she was actually, her poison was methadone. That's what I would...
that, too. You can get even deeper, or Oxycontin or all that stuff, you know.
So
the drugs of the world today aren't pleasant for the body of mankind.
If you eat Valiums like they're M&Ms, you're looking for trouble.
Oh, I think that's a given. I mean, when her case, well, bottom line, guys, concerning Anna Nicole, I've heard a couple of things scattered about, but bottom line, what do you guys think about who's responsible? First of all, I mean, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. Who's the baby daddy, so to say, right? Who's the baby's daddy? And who was responsible for this? I mean, let's start with who's the baby's daddy. I mean, does anybody have any idea?
Stern's in it for the money, but he's not the dad.
Okay, he's not the father.
No, Stern is not the dad.
No. He's not the dad.
Not the blonde guy is the dad.
The blonde guy is the dad.
Yeah. What's his name? Kirkland is his name?
Yeah.
Well, she must have been a real busy lady back then.
Yeah, she was a very busy
lady. Well, we find out she has been a busy lady after all. What, Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband has been saying he's been dating her, so, yeah.
Well, there was actually...
not true. They're running out of money, that's why.
There was actually a betting pool between myself and Doug.
Everybody just wants publicity, and this is a person that shut out her family, and she went off on her own, made her own money, and now, once she passes away, the mother comes out, everybody comes out. She didn't even like her mother. She wanted nothing to do with her mother. Her mother flew over to the Bahamas from the newspaper. They paid for her flight. She didn't even pay for her own flight.
No. Last minute showed up.
Last minute showed up because they all want a piece of the money.
Well, again, like I
said,
doesn't speak to her daughter for 20 years, okay, or for like 10 years, and then now wants the daughter because they all know it's all money. And she's gonna
well, that's
that
still
game.
Her daughter, though.
Huh?
I mean, that's still her daughter. Nobody can take that away from her.
I know it's still your daughter, but then again, the daughter wanted nothing to do with her and never came to see her anyway.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden, now she's your mom, you know, and she has $500,000 coming from that divorce, you know.
Right.
From that gentleman, so everybody wants a piece of that money. I think it's just
sure. Watch them fight. That's how it always is.
Yeah,
right. They don't care about the baby. They just want the money that's attached to the baby.
Exactly.
Well, that's the key to it.
Like the Alice Cooper song, "$1 Billion Baby."
And that's the truth of it, guys. I think the key to this whole situation that we're being bombarded with every day on the news is the key is the child for whoever's responsible. As a matter of fact, Doug and I threw our chips in, too. I actually put my chips in and said I was the father of the child. I went for it, but I lost.
Oh, man. How was it?
I didn't want to get into that.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean...
from Sherry out here in the chat room, I see. Sorry, I've been listening. I haven't been checking the chat room, but here we got a question. It says, if I'm going to get a recording, am I supposed to go next month? I'd like to know what she said.
Well, this is a question for Jill Dane.
Where is she supposed to go?
Sherry, she says, Jill Dane, if I am going to get a recording, am I supposed to go next month? I don't understand the question.
She wants to know what you see, Jill, concerning this recording.
What do you see about her getting a recording next month, or what?
No.
No, no recording next month.
No, I don't see it happening for next month. She'll have to go back again in September.
Did you hear that, Sherry? Say yes in the chat room. Did you hear that, okay?
You'll have to go back in September, Sherry.
Okay. You have to go back in another month.
Okay, so Anna Nicole, are we kind of all on the fence concerning Anna Nicole now? We really don't know who the father is going to be, or we know it isn't Howard K. Stern, though. Am I correct?
They said it's the blonde guy.
Right. Oh, yeah, blonde guy. I'm sorry. I'm doing a thousand
Larry
things here.
Burkhead is his name, they say. Larry Burkhead.
And we said, and somebody put their money on the 1988 Denver Broncos, actually.
Oh,
I would like to say something.
Yes.
Honey, you listened to my show, right? We both predicted the Colts, right?
Oh, yes, we did.
I was with all the football players and in South Beach, and I predicted they were going to win by 12, and then the Bears were basically booing me and telling me that I'm going to be wrong. And they won by 12,
right?
Yeah,
we had some very interesting bits of information between Victor and I for a couple of weeks on that. And
yep, Hobie got it ahead of time. I saw it.
And in regards to the father of... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Remember that it was like, in the beginning, it was like they were losing, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right? And I'm like, no, they have to win. I'm going to look, my reputation went down the drain.
Well, was it 2 weeks before I was on the phone with Victor, and they were losing 21-3 to the Patriots.
Yep.
At halftime. And I said to Victor, watch as they come back. They're going to win the game. And he said, you know, against the Patriots, the Patriots are a tough team to come back at that point. And sure enough, 50 seconds after the game, the Patriots, Colts are winning, what was it, 38-34 by 4 points, and the Patriots have the ball, and they go charging for the winning touchdown. And Victor calls me up, and I said, Victor, they're not going to score, they're not going to win the game. And the next thing we know, interception, Colts win the game, history. You know, it's...
So what else of big and important is going on in the world, anybody?
I think we can move away from Anna Nicole. I think we should move away from Anna Nicole, personally. That's just my opinion. Scott?
I think we should move on to something positive.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
I'm going to...
Positive is me.
What's up in Canada?
What, me?
Yeah, I'm Canada these days.
Oh, I'll give Scott the floor. He needs. I want to give let Scott say something because he's got
a lot
to say. Yeah,
let's talk about Scott for a little bit. You know, he's up there in North Dakota.
That new book out.
What book is it?
Scott's got a new book out. It's being released in the next couple of weeks.
What is it called?
The Inheritance.
Yeah, it's called The Inheritance. It's published by Continued Search Publishing.
What is it about?
Well, it reads kind of like the Philistine prophecy from the standpoint it comes in on as a novel, but there's a tremendous amount of metaphysical teachings that kind of picks up where what the belief in the secret left off and really walks the reader almost accidentally into a great deal of metaphysical knowledge.
How do you go about doing that?
Oh, gosh. It really happened by accident. It started with a dream that I was having and then ended up living. And at some point, the dedication of the book says that the book is dedicated to everyone who's ever had a dream so real they confused it with reality, and to everyone who's ever had reality so incredible they confused it with a dream. And it ended up, that's what I ended up experiencing, was that fine line between dream and reality becoming almost skewed, and then showing other people how to skew that line for themselves as they unlock their own inheritance in their own life, kind of like the law of attraction, the movie The Secret, those kind of things talk about, but putting in more of a real-world application, and at the same time including a lot of, there's like a free hypnotherapy CD that goes with it to help people reprogram their subconscious mind to be in line with their conscious mind of unlocking their own inheritance and actually getting a lot of the things that The Secret and Law of Attraction promise. It's rocking. It amazed me. I sent the book out to maybe 25 people and said, hey, you know, I need a couple blurbs for the back. Anybody help me out? And out of like 25 people that I sent it to, like 23 of them responded back with, yes, here. I want to be a part of this. And There's everybody who's been in the movie What the Bleep, The Secret, and the new movie Pass It On that's coming out in April have all received copies of the book and are sending me in comments and stuff. It's amazing watching this thing really gain a lot of momentum. It's becoming more of a movement than a book. Several people are talking movie already. It's going to be the featured book review from Mystic Pop Magazine in May. And it's going to launch to 7,000 people in Denver on the 16th. And everybody who's listening right now, if you go to connectwithscott.com/special, there's just some freebies, you know, free shipping and pre-release and free CD and all kinds of good stuff that goes with it. So I invite everybody to check it out.
Excellent. All right. And that sounds very exciting, Scott. Thank you.
Homie, I got to say goodbye now, but I'll see you and Jill next Sunday on her show. I got the information right here.
Oh, great.
You
gotta
leave now. Good
talking to y'all. So Scott's dropping off.
Take care.
Ready, Victor? Okay, y'all too.
Thanks, Scott. Take care of yourself.
Bye, Victor.
Wow. That was a heck of a hang-up. That was a beautiful hang-up.
That was a painful hang-up.
That was an ugly hang-up. Derek, I know somebody...
Did you say that we're not going to... Scott, did you say we're not going to have any commercials during this show?
We're not going to have any commercials. Can you guys handle that?
Yes.
Can everybody handle
sure,
that?
Well, we can just take turns making our own commercials. I just had mine. Somebody else can get theirs.
Well, I know somebody pointed... Go ahead, homie.
Go ahead, Scott. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, I was saying that I know somebody a few minutes ago pointed the finger over at Derek as far as some predictions in the Canadian region, and I was wondering if Derek wanted to elaborate on that.
Predictions in the Canadian region?
Mm-hmm.
In this area, nothing happens too much except we get snow, rain, snow, rain, snow, rain.
So it's a safe prediction to have snow, rain, snow, rain, snow, rain then.
Yeah, basically the weather here, I mean, in this area here, it just goes nuts. In normally in British Columbia, we normally don't get much snow. We're lucky if it lasts for 2-3 days. But we get snow hitting us now, like yesterday, I don't know, it's a couple of days ago, we actually had snow hit us for about 10-15 minutes, and all of a sudden we got hail, and then other parts of the other city within 15 minutes away, you got rain. Another 15 minutes away, there's nothing, and then another part, you go get snow. So it's going sporadic in our area. It's like the weather's confused. And but I really strongly feel that what's happening is that our, in the area of Canada, and I'm sure it's all over the U.S. as well, that the ice caps are actually melting faster than they should. And so the waters are rising. And a lot of people actually right now are really worried about floods. And I know all across the United States and other parts of the area are actually getting a lot of floods right now. I made a prediction. I had a couple nightmares a couple nights previously before the tornado hit in Alabama. And I have a friend there that lives there, and both homie and I know, and Scott knows, lives in Alabama. And they're only not even about, I think it's the same, about 20 miles away or so, that they actually had to be out of their house because when that school got hit. And I had two nights of nightmare before.
Yeah,
and I was trying to reach them.
Alabama.
This event happened, and I kept trying to call them, and I couldn't get through. And then when the time did happen, they were just coming into the house that late evening after the whole event was over. And I was explaining to them as I was trying to get through. And so that happens at times. We always even have the nightmares, or even what you call the nightmares, the visions before these events start to happen. So these things happen. But in Canada here, not too much happens over here, except we're more of a quiet, closed, quiet area. And in our part of the country, there's not really too much happening, so we just have our snowstorms in the eastern part of Canada, and we have our part of our stuff up here. But as far as politics are concerned, we're more easygoing people. Nothing really, as far as the heavy, you guys are much more active than we are in Canada. We're just laid back and watch. We're almost like, you know, somebody who lives in Mississippi, just sit back and watch.
There's beautiful
fly.
In Canada.
I'm sorry?
There's beautiful people in Canada. I used to go out there when I was like 15, and we used to go in Toronto.
Yeah.
And we used to go on the streets of Toronto with like a microphone, and we used to talk to people, and they didn't know my mother and I were psychic. And they'd be like, "How do you know this?" And we're like, "Because we know." you know, and they'd be talking to us like it was like a regular conversation. Then all of a sudden, how do you know this?
Yeah,
the people there are just so wonderful. You have some beautiful people out there.
Toronto was actually the opposite. It's eastern of Canada. We're about, if you flew the plane, you're about 5 hours away.
Toronto's 5 hours away from you?
Yeah, 5 hours away on a flight plane. If you're traveling by vehicle, it takes 3 days to get there.
Oh, my God, that's far. So, wait, are you close to, like, New York?
Me? I'm, you know where, Washington is?
Oh, okay.
Bellingham?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, we're like we're about 10 minutes from Bellingham, Washington.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'm right close to the ocean. I'm about five minutes away from the ocean.
Well, concerning
the water level.
He's in a beautiful country.
Well, Derek, one question.
You kind of
touch a soft spot with me, Derek, because the weather, okay, is an umbrella here, for lack of a better term. I have to say, this week, just this week, and this is why I find this so interesting. I believe it was Wednesday here this week. We had every different type of condition you could have in one day. We had rain.
Mm-hmm.
We had snow.
Yep.
We had sleet, and we even got some hail, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And literally towards the end of the day before the sun actually went down, the clouds parted a little bit, and we had sunshine come through at the end of the day, okay? We had whiteouts, and from county to county, we'd have a whiteout in one county, and then it'd be perfectly clear in another county when I was coming home from work, because I crossed a couple of counties coming home from work. I have never in my life seen weather this dramatic, at least here in Michigan. And it seems like I've talked to people from all over the country, and they're experiencing similar conditions, too. And this is finally, there's been a lot of talk in the news about the whole global warming aspect and things like that, that finally people are stepping forward and saying, look, this whole global warming issue is starting to rear its ugly head now. We have some ridiculous changes in climates and conditions, like I mentioned before. And these things all seem to be coming into play now. And it sounds like, you know, what you were talking about kind of tied into that also. People here in America that are on this line, I'm wondering if you guys have any input on that also.
The majority of it, I feel, is actually man-made. And if you Google chemtrails, the amount of information that's there is simply staggering. That show the correlation with the chemtrails, which are, of course, man-made, in correlation with the weather and what we're doing. I also believe a lot of it has to do with the Mayan prophecy of December 21st, 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar. And people that I talk to, it amazes me because they think it's like Y2K. Like, everything's fine up till this day, and then poof, everything's bad.